This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
63 degrees this morning, a little light rain, 7:07 at WCHL. Mostly cloudy all day, slight chance of rain all day, particularly in the afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s, and it will be a rainy weekend. A tragic story to report this morning. U.S. Highway 15501, Fordham Boulevard, was once again the scene of a deadly accident when a hit-and-run left one bicyclist dead and another injured late last night. According to WRAL, a Pittsburgh police officer driving south near Southern Village found the bikes and their riders in the middle of the road around 11:30 p.m. The riders were a man and a woman who were riding together. Police said the man died. He was not wearing a helmet or reflective vest. The woman was taken to a local hospital. 15501 South was closed for several hours while police investigated the incident. State troopers are looking for a sedan with damage caused by the incident. Again, an apparent hit and run involving two bicyclists, one dead, one in the hospital. We will have more details to report as they become available. The Central West Steering Committee has 12 days to present its plan to the planning board. Not a single item in the plan has a consensus agreement. WCHL's Rand Northam has more on the story.
The action item for last night's meeting of the committee was to see which items in the plan, which has been discussed since January, could be agreed on. First motion to vote on an item was finally called more than 2 hours into the meeting. A representative of the Bicycle and Pedestrian Board, Jared Simmons, motioned that the committee vote on the bike and ped plan that has been discussed, which he said he believed the group agreed on. After close to 10 minutes of discussion, the motion got lost, and co-chair Amy Ryan asked the Chapel Hill Police Department's staff legal advisor, Matt Sullivan, who was brought in to be a facilitator of the meeting, to get the meeting on track.
We have this meeting and the next meeting before we have to go to the planning board, and we have to bring up something. And I'm hoping that we bring them decisions, not just these are things we're thinking about. So you can help us maybe move forward with that.
I think he's actually moving in the right direction.
More discussion ensued, and the motion was removed with a different motion to make the bike ped portion of the plan an agenda item for discussion at the committee's next meeting. With only 15 minutes left in the meeting before the committee had to allow for 10 minutes of public discussion and adjourning, the second motion was called by landowner Whit Rummel.
I would like to make a motion that we accept the performance-based standards for traffic on development with the on a basis that David and staff can come up with a feasible way of approaching it.
David Bonk is the town's long-range and transportation planning manager. He took time to explain that the performance-based standards are industry standards for these situations, and still the committee could not agree to vote on the item. Despite nearly reaching a vote, that item too got pushed to the next meeting with a request for more information from town officials. Before opening the floor to public comments, Sullivan told the committee he is confident that it can come up with some items on which the members can agree.
I think it would be a shame that you'd invest all this time, energy, and effort to have it flounder.
A major holdup for the committee is that there are now 6 proposals on the table for it to work on. The 5th map was presented last week by a group that expressed its items of concern were not being heard. That proposal was presented to the group last night and received mixed opinion. The co-chairs of the committee also took the past week to meet one-on-one with almost every individual of the group to discuss the issues. The chairs then put the discussion together into a map, which the committee realized at the meeting ended up being a combination of concept A2 and B2. Both those concepts were heavily disliked in the committee. Last week's public session saw more than 200 community members show up to give their input by placing a green dot on plans they agreed on and red dots on plans they were against. Town officials, members of the committee, and members of the public said last night there was evidence that people were seen removing dots and otherwise compromising the project, so the data was not submitted as official information. However, the town survey received close to 450 entries and was given to the committee to review. The Central West Steering Committee meets one final time before submitting a plan to the planning board. Tuesday, from 4:30 to 6:30 in the evening, the group will have to come up with something to present. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Peter DeLeon, the general manager of University Mall in Chapel Hill, said Thursday that Dillard's is not leaving the mall.
We have also heard the rumor that Dillard's is closing in Chapel Hill, and we reached out to Julie Bull, who is in charge of media and investor relations at Dillard's. in speaking with Ms. Bull, she stated to us that she has not been given that information that they are closing.
De Leon said he was told that the Dillard's is being converted into a clearance center, which has been done to 19 other stores in the Dillard's chain.
Dillard's, because they converted, and it was fairly short notice to the store managers. So I'm sure that fueled a lot of it, but at this point, we have to respect what Dillard's is telling us.
A source told WCHL News on Wednesday that Dillard's was leaving University Mall, that negotiations were underway with a non-retail store to replace it. A cashier at the store told WCHL's Aaron Keck on Thursday that Dillard's is likely closing in a few months. She said she, too, has been hearing conflicting reports. Currently, Dillard's is the only department store in Chapel Hill providing a sizable source of sales tax. It's also one of the few places to buy clothing in Chapel Hill. There was a proposal to relocate the Chapel Hill Public Library to the store's location until town staff recalculated and found it would have been more costly than they had originally thought. Attorney Drew Nelson is the fourth person and the first from Durham County to announce his intention to seek the State House District 50 seat, replacing Representative Valerie Fouché. Nelson made the announcement in a press release on Wednesday evening, which also announced his website. He's the first in the Senate and House appointment processes to create a website specifically with the purpose of getting his name out. The process of appointment will depend on the votes of four people, two from Orange County, two from Durham County, with Orange carrying the weighted majority. Nelson is a native of the eastern part of North Carolina, a graduate of the Carolina Law School, and received his master's from Duke's Terry Sanford School of Public Policy. After completing his education, Drew and his wife Jennifer moved to Durham County. Nelson served as in-house counsel at North Carolina State and is now a partner at Willis & Nelson, PLLC, in Raleigh, serving people in the appellate court. Nelson did some work on former Representative Joe Hackney's staff, working with students to become involved in environmental issues on a presidential campaign. On his website, he says, quoting here, his background in advocacy and policy gives him the tools to be a strong voice for Orange and Durham counties, as well as for families across North Carolina. Those interested in the House 50 seat are intending to replace Representative Fouché, who was chosen to fill the Senate District 23 seat, formerly held by Ellie Kinnaird of Chapel Hill. Next week, Representative Fouché will reportedly resign from the House. She will then be sworn into the Senate. The selection committee needs to be filled, as it is now one person short. That's because Chapel Hill's Greg Meyer resigned his seat in the committee to seek the appointment. Once a committee is filled, a date will be set to choose who will take the seat in the House. Well, there was a forum last night for candidates for Chapel Hill Town Council. That story coming up in just a moment on WCHL. It's 7:15, time now for Traffic Together. And this traffic report is brought to you by Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, immersed in the East 54 community, where you can book your private dining party from 10 to 300 people in one of five different private dining rooms. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54. Now we'll check your Friday morning traffic on WCHL with Rand Northup.
Thank you, Ron. Things still moving smoothly. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway not reporting any accidents. No major delays. You might see some slowdowns picking up right now as people are getting to school, getting to work, or maybe returning home after a long, late night. And if you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Go see Berkeley Grimble today for your engagement ring. You've had it on your mind for a long time. You finally made the decision. You need to find one that reflects the love that you feel. Go see Berkeley Grimble, Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler. Grimble's in the Village Plaza next to Whole Foods. Excuse me. 63 degrees in Chapel Hill, mostly cloudy. In fact, a little light rain this morning. Slight chance of rain pretty much all day. High today in the low 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers after midnight. Overnight low in the low 60s. And then tomorrow, we're looking at a cloudy day. 60% chance of rain all day. High 78. Tomorrow night, more of the same. 60% chance of showers. Lows around 57 or 58. And then on Sunday, still another rainy day, mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of showers, and the highs in the middle 70s. So, looks like a definite rainy weekend.
Ron Stuntz in the morning and progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM WCHL.
717 at WCHL. Sustainability and citizen engagement were the key themes raised by candidates for the Chapel Hill Town Council at last night's forum hosted by the Orange County Democratic Women. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Cuts to state and federal funding, as well as the persistent drain of retail dollars to surrounding counties, have many in Chapel Hill looking for ways to grow the local economy. Maria Palmer, who served on the Transportation Committee during the Chapel Hill 2020 process, said implementing the vision laid out in the new comprehensive plan will be the key to drawing new commercial development to the area.
I don't think any of us realize that the level of services we receive in Chapel Hill is unsustainable. We either pay a whole lot more in taxes, or we cut services, or we create new income, and that is one thing I really want to do.
2020 co-chair George Sanciolo agreed. He said the town needs to focus on streamlining the development process and revising the town's land use ordinances to provide guidance to developers that will attract new business.
There should be no reason that any applicant should have to wait more than a year to either get an up or down vote on their application. If we do those, I think we can get new growth. We can get thoughtful new growth. We can get well-designed new growth that not only will increase our tax base, but will bring in increased revenue from sales tax.
D.C. Swinton said he'd like to see new growth focused on job creation to help the approximately 1 out of 4 Chapel Hill residents who live in poverty.
There are a lot of people that are still in need for full-time jobs, and I'd like to bring jobs through sustainable practices to Chapel Hill.
Candidates also discussed ways to get the public engaged in town affairs. Lauren Hint said he wants to foster a proactive approach among town officials.
So much of what council does, what local government does, is complaint-driven. I want to create a new attitude where employees are going around town, council members are going around town, noticing what the problems are, and then pointing those out so they can be addressed rather than waiting for someone to complain.
Current council member Ed Harrison said educating residents about the role of local government is one of the best ways to get the public involved.
The more the town publicizes what the town actually does on a day-to-day basis and what solutions the town can offer to people, the more people understand that the policymakers of the town should matter to them.
Only Democratic candidates were invited to last night's forum. Sanciolo, who had previously been unaffiliated, recently registered as a Democrat, which allowed him to participate. 5 of the 9 candidates for town council were in attendance. Incumbent Sally Green was out of town on a family matter, planning board member Amy Ryan was across town at the Central West meeting, and challenger Paul Neeby was absent. Gary Kahn, the 9th council candidate, was not included as he is a registered Republican. Election campaigning is well underway, with a slew of forums scheduled in the next 6 weeks. The local chapter of the League of Women Voters will host a forum for the Carrboro municipal candidates this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 at Carrboro Town Hall. Elizabeth Friends, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
You can celebrate Maple View Farms' 50th anniversary this Sunday along with owner Bob Nutter, also known as Farmer Bob. We'll have all the details on that event in our next newscast at the bottom of the hour. 7:20 at WCHL. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. UNC football practice all this week has carried a sense of urgency and anticipation. This year's group of Tar Heels is looking to turn the tide against Georgia Tech and put an end to a 16-year drought for the program down in Atlanta. WCHL's Matt Oaks caught up with head coach Larry Fedora and defensive coordinator Vic Koning before they boarded the buses heading south to Atlanta.
The Tar Heels finally get a chance to kick off their ACC slate against the formidable Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech tomorrow. And with ample opportunity to prepare these last 2 weeks, the coaching staff is ready for some live action. Coach Fedora even calls the game the ultimate measuring stick. Defensive coordinator Vic Koning says he tries to instill some fight and toughness in his defense, but in the end, the players have to want it the most.
You like to take your heart and your knowledge and your focus and everything you want as a coach and put it in some of them, and you can't really do that. So, you can't want it more than they want it.
Koning says Saturday's contest will come down to a battle of wills. Which team will sacrifice more to get the win? Koning even quotes some scripture when characterizing the showdown.
You know, in the book of John in the Bible, it's 8:32, basically says the truth will set you free. You know, on Saturday at 12, the truth's going to be the truth. Do we want it enough? Are we willing to fly around and get off the ground and put our bodies in there?
Koning says one of the scariest propositions for the Tar Heel defense this weekend will be containing standout Georgia Tech quarterback Vad Lee. His versatile play running the option and throwing the ball down the field presents major problems.
Well, he throws the ball down the field very well, very accurate. You can be over the top and he can throw a back shoulder and you're just going, ain't much you can do about all that.
Head coach Larry Fedora says despite the thorough and sound preparations made by his team, he can never really predict how his squad will fare on game day. It's up to the players, after all.
I've been doing this for a long time. I wish I could say that, but you never know. I mean, you really don't. You work extremely hard during the week, and you prepare them, and you give them everything they possibly have, and then it comes down to the last day of a personal plan then.
For Tar Heel fans, let's hope those personal plans include emerging with a win against a conference rival on Saturday. You can read this story and follow all the latest on Tar Heel football on our website, chapelboro.com. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Taylor Zarzar is with WFNZ in Charlotte. He's hosted The Drive, and he's been following the Tar Heels for a very long time. Taylor, I guess when it comes down to Carolina's chances to win in Atlanta tomorrow, it might come down to whether the Tar Heels can seize the few opportunities they get against Georgia Tech.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're going to have to score probably each time they have the football. I mean, I think it's a very similar sort of game as last year, but certainly North Carolina can't allow Georgia Tech to have the greatest day in Atlantic Coast Conference history on offense, which is what they had last year in Chapel Hill, losing 68-50. Larry Fedora told me before the season started that he promised their defense would not be as bad as last year. So getting off the football field is clearly going to be the issue, and North Carolina, with that very inexperienced defense, is going to have to play their best game of the season so far.
Well, after seeing Carolina score 50 points last season and still lose the football game, and after watching Tar Heels in the early part of the season, and after seeing Georgia Tech play, what kind of a game do you expect it to be tomorrow?
I think it's a very similar game with this one big difference. North Carolina's had 2 weeks to prepare for this, and Georgia Tech does not have nearly as much success against teams coming off of byes that have had an extra week of preparation for that wishbone triple option attack as they do against teams that have, 5, 6, or 7 days to prepare for it. But I would look for North Carolina to take some chances in the game early and try to cause a turnover. Look for Kareem Martin or somebody to try to get in the backfield, cause a turnover early. But on the flip side, I would think you will see Bren Renner and that North Carolina offense try to stay out on the football field as long as possible. But I do think, again, you expect a shootout in Atlanta.
Taylor, we always appreciate your insights. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Absolutely, Ron.
Taylor Zarzar, WFNZ, Charlotte, hosted The Drive. And as I said, he's been following Carolina football for a very long time. Game tomorrow at 12 noon in Atlanta. WCHL's coverage will begin bright and early at 9 a.m. with WCHL's exclusive countdown to kickoff, presented by UNC Healthcare. That'll be followed by The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee, and all the game coverage and post-game coverage here on WCHL, so it's a full Saturday of football. One ACC game last night, Taj Boyd threw for 244 yards and 3 touchdowns, helping number 3 Clemson beat North Carolina State in Raleigh, 26-14. Boyd's second scoring pass, a 30-yarder to Martavis Bryant, capped a critical third-quarter sequence that allowed the Tigers to seize momentum in front of a hostile crowd in West Raleigh. Clemson pulled away from there. Again, Sammy Watkins was big. He added 10 catches for 96 yards on a night when Clemson's explosive offense didn't manage many big plays, yet finished with 415 yards. Again, that score, Clemson over North Carolina State last night in the ACC, 26-14. Clemson now 1-0 in ACC play. North Carolina State 0-1. State actually led 7-6 at one point, but couldn't complete the upset in Coach Dave Doran's first league game. And Clemson is awfully good. 7:26 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
How much does bad publicity affect the U.S. News college rankings? This is our Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. The annual college rankings in U.S. News and World Report came out last week, and UNC was number 30 overall and number 5 among public universities. Not bad, I guess, except if you consider Carolina has been on a downward trend the last few years, once as high as number 2 for public schools. Meanwhile, Duke rose to number 7 overall, and Wake Forest jumped to 23rd. If you care, NC State was 101 overall and 47th in public schools. Old ECTC was 101 in publics, off the reservation and overall. The drop for UNC has to make you wonder about how much to blame were the academic scandal and the bad publicity that lingered. U.S. News said their metrics changed this year using more outward data, like faculty retention and the starting salaries of recent graduates. I would say 17 football players getting booted for at least one game, a coach getting canned, and a complicit department being vilified certainly provided a hangover of outward data. Maybe they should factor in the starting salaries of Gio, Sly, and Coop, none of whom played football for Duke. Just like we watch each other's basketball and athletic teams, Duke's climb to seventh has to be galling to the Carolina community, particularly juxtaposed with UNC's decline. Duke seems to be in all forms of media these days, from Sloan Sabbath on Newsroom being a graduate who majored in Chinese, to a Rolling Stone article on the abused children and last ears to the Doris Duke fortune, which would go to Duke University if the kids are judged not stable enough to be billionaires. Duke's steady rise in the rankings goes all the way back to when it was a nice little regional private school. Then Terry Sanford became president, and he applied all the methodology he learned from UNC's Frank Porter Graham. And the national basketball power aside, Duke is now a short rung under Ivy Perennials, Princeton, Harvard, Yale, and Columbia near the top of the list. Hopefully, Chancellor Carol Folt, coming from Dartmouth, will have more than a little rub-off on our reputation and reasoning for the rankings. In short, Carolina's plight proves wrong the old adage that the only bad publicity is no publicity. For starters, we could sure use a little of the latter. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Hi, I'm Mike Benson, Chapel Hill class of 85 and owner of North Carolina's most unique and eclectic restaurants, the Southern Rail, right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Built out of vintage railroad cars and the original University train station, we serve lunch and dinner and brunch on the weekends. We are open 7 days a week and offer free parking on either side of the railroad tracks. Feast in a 1930s dining carriage and watch a train go by, or enjoy a fresh mint julep in the incomparable bar car, the Southern Rail. It will take you back.
Kitchen a little cramped? Let Cedarburg Kitchens and Additions make your life a little easier. Bill Cedarburg has been helping local families achieve their design dreams for over 25 years. The design team will guide you through your home's entire project to ensure that you have the kitchen, bathroom, or addition that suits your family's needs. And they've been an Angie's List Super Service Award winner for the last 2 years. Cedarburg Kitchens, translating your home dreams into living spaces. Learn more at CedarburgKitchens.com.
Dreaming of an easier and faster way to get your vehicle serviced? Wake up, because Crown Honda South Point has the answer. Dream Service. Simply drop your car off between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and your vehicle will be ready bright and early at 7 a.m. the next morning. 7 a.m. Guaranteed, or it's free. Plus, Crown Honda South Point is the only Honda dealer in North Carolina open until 11 p.m. Rest easy with Dream Service at Crown Honda South Point. Dream Service. South Point Auto Park Boulevard and SouthPointHonda.com.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Vespa Ristorante. It's half off, $30 for Italian and Mediterranean cuisine, available now for $15. You probably know Vespa from its patio, the largest in downtown Chapel Hill. But Vespa is also known for providing high-quality Italian and Mediterranean cuisine. Their exciting selection of delectable dishes can now be yours for half the price. And they're donating 5% of its proceeds from these coupon sales to the Northside Elementary School. It's half off from Vespa Ristorante. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Start your day with Ron Stutz and catch Ed Schultz from noon to 3 here on 97.9 FM WCHL.
It's 7:30 at WCHL. Your weather forecast brought to you by Elmo's Diner. The fun never stops at Elmo's Diner with shakes, burgers, and high chairs for small fries. Elmo's Diner, Carmel Mall in Carrboro. 63 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 62 in Carrboro. Wet, a little light rain this morning. Mostly cloudy all day with a slight chance of rain all day. Maybe showers, maybe thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. And in fact, it looks like a wet weekend. 60% chance of rain tomorrow, and 60% chance of rain tomorrow night.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carrboro community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelboro.com.
Chicago is waking up after a violent night. Two incidents in the second. At around 10 p.m. on the city's southwest side, gunshots at a basketball court.
Use caution. They're armed using high-caliber weapons.
That's from Broadcastify.com. 13 people wounded then.
That was a lot of shots, man, like boom, 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 boom.
A 3-year-old was shot in the face now.
The 3-year-old boy remains in critical condition, and it turns out that his uncle was one of 8 people murdered in the city over the Labor Day weekend.
Police looking for 2 suspects, and correspondent Dean Reynolds told CBS this morning.
This latest outbreak of violence comes on the heels of an FBI report released just this week, branding Chicago as the murder capital of America. With 500 murders recorded in 2012, that's even more than New York City, a city with 3 times the population.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
63 degrees, light rain, 732 at WCHL. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll bring you up to date on what's happening with high school football tonight. A terrible story to report this morning. U.S. Highway 15501, Fordham Boulevard, is once again the scene of a deadly accident. A hit-and-run left one bicyclist dead and another injured late last night. According to WRAL, a Pittsburgh police officer driving south near Southern Village found the bikes and their riders in the middle of the road around 11:30 p.m. The riders were a man and a woman who were riding together. Police said the man died. He was not wearing a helmet or a reflective vest. The woman was taken to a local hospital. 15501 South was closed for several hours. While police investigated the incident, state troopers are looking for a sedan with damage caused by the incident. But once again, one bicyclist dead, another hospitalized, and we will have details for you just as soon as they become available. An apparent hit and run near Southern Village on Highway 15501 South. The Central West Steering Committee has just 12 days left to present its plan to the planning board. Not one single item in the plan has a consensus agreement. WCHL's Rand Northam has more on the story.
The action item for last night's meeting of the committee was to see which items in the plan, which has been discussed since January, could be agreed on. First motion to vote on an item was finally called more than 2 hours into the meeting. A representative of the Bicycle and Pedestrian Board, Jared Simmons, motioned that the committee vote on the bike and ped plan that has been discussed, which he said he believed the group agreed on. After close to 10 minutes of discussion, the motion got lost, and co-chair Amy Ryan asked the Chapel Hill Police Department's staff legal advisor, Matt Sullivan, who was brought in to be a facilitator of the meeting, to get the meeting on track.
We have this meeting and the next meeting before we have to go to the planning board, and we have to bring them something. And I'm hoping that we bring them decisions, not just these are things we're thinking about. So you can help us maybe move forward with that.
I think he's actually moving in the right direction.
More discussion ensued, and the motion was removed with a different motion to make the bike ped portion of the plan an agenda item for discussion at the committee's next meeting. With only 15 minutes left in the meeting before the committee had to allow for 10 minutes of public discussion and adjourning, the second motion was called by landowner Whit Rummel.
I would like to make a motion that we accept the performance-based standards for traffic on development with the on a basis that David and staff can come up with a feasible way of approaching it.
David Bonk is the town's long-range and transportation planning manager. He took time to explain that the performance-based standards are industry standards for these situations, and still the committee could not agree to vote on the item. Despite nearly reaching a vote, that item too got pushed to the next meeting with a request for more information from town officials. Before opening the floor to public comments, Sullivan told the committee he is confident that it can come up with some items on which the members can agree.
I think it would be a shame that you'd invest all this time, energy, and effort to have it flounder.
A major holdup for the committee is that there are now six proposals on the table for it to work on. The fifth map was presented last week by a group that expressed its items of concern were not being heard. That proposal was presented to the group last night and received mixed opinion. The co-chairs of the committee also took the past week to meet one-on-one with almost every individual of the group to discuss the issues. The chairs then put the discussion together into a map, which the committee realized at the meeting ended up being a combination of concept A2 and B2. Both those concepts were heavily disliked in the committee. Last week's public session saw more than 200 community members show up to give their input by placing a green dot on plans they agreed on and red dots on plans they were against. Town officials, members of the committee, and members of the public said last night there was evidence that people were seen removing dots and otherwise compromising the project, so the data was not submitted as official information. However, the town survey received close to 450 entries and was given to the committee to review. The Central West Steering Committee meets one final time before submitting a plan to the planning board. Tuesday, from 4:30 to 6:30 in the evening, the group will have to come up with something to present. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
You can help celebrate Maple View Farm's 50th anniversary this Sunday, along with owner Bob Nutter, perhaps better known as Farmer Bob. Event organizers say it will be a day filled with activities and also a chance to commemorate the farm, which has meant so much to our local community. WCHL's Rachel Nash has the story.
Well, I guess I have to be a little proud of the way it's happened and what's happened, because I think we've made some contributions to the community.
That's Farmer Bob, a fifth-generation farmer. Now semi-retired, Farmer Bob co-owns Mapleview Farm with Mike Stroud. 50 years ago, the owners of the farm moved from their original location in Maine all the way down to Hillsboro for a better milk market and climate for raising crops. The farm, now famous for its homemade ice cream and fresh milk, has since grown to 400 acres and is a multifaceted operation with products sold in more than 60 local stores. Allison Nichols Clapper, the executive director of the Mapleview Agricultural Center, says Sunday's celebration will begin at 12:30 p.m. at the farm's country store, and the Mason Lovett Band will take to the stage at 2 p.m.
We have games for kids. We have cornhole for adults. We'll have educational booths, North Carolina Cooperative Extension, the 4-H Master Gardeners of Orange County. We'll have a few local vendors that will be joining us to showcase some of their local items.
One of the booths will focus on the Agricultural Center, the farm's nonprofit organization that provides educational opportunities for both kids and adults. Donations will also be accepted for several charities, including the Sam's Wish Fund at Kids Path of Hospice. Nichols says all donations given to the charity are in memory of Farmer Bob's daughter, Arlene Muffin Nutter Brosig, who co-founded the farm with her father. She passed away from cancer in 2010. Nichols Clapper says Mapleview Farms makes it a priority to give back to the community, adding that Farmer Bob and wife Chris Nutter, quoting here, were two of the most kind and generous people that she had ever met.
One of the reasons why I think their business is so successful is because they are so community-oriented that they're constantly giving back and they're constantly trying to help the community that in turn supports them and makes them successful.
Mapleview also uses environmentally responsible practices in their businesses. In 1996, the farm installed an on-farm bottling operations center and made returnable glass bottles available to Orange County residents. Farmer Bob says Sunday's event will be a chance to celebrate with his family and the many friends he's made in the community.
Yeah, I just think I'll be glad to see a lot of people, and I won't be able to call many of them by name, but I can recognize their face.
As for the next 50 years of Mapleview,
I believe that my son and my partner will be able to continue to milk cows here as long as they want to.
For more information about Mapleview's 50th anniversary celebration Sunday, you can read this article on our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Gosh, Farmer Bob, I know what you mean. Recognize the face. Sometimes the name just won't come to me. It's 740 at WCHL. We're going to talk about chapelboro.com in just a moment here. And we also have commentary on the way from Raleigh Mann, who wants to know if the tail is going to continue to wag the dog at the university. That's on the way. But I wanted to bring you up to date on what's happening with high school football in the area. Week 5 of high school football action is here. It features a classic rivalry game set to divide Chapel Hill. In this week's WCHL Game of the Week, the Chapel Hill Tigers travel down the street to take on the East Chapel Hill Wildcats. Coach John Sherman's 1-3 Wildcats are looking to keep Coach Isaac Marsh's Chapel Hill team winless in a showdown featuring two improving offenses. The contest will surely light up the Friday night sky, as it will fill up our airwaves on 97.9 FM and chapelboro.com. Kickoff time set for 7 o'clock tonight. You can tune in to pregame coverage with Paul Connell live from East Chapel Hill High at 6:30. And even before that, make sure you start your Friday night off right with The Grid with Matt and Matt, airing at 6 p.m. on WCHL's airwaves. Now, the kickoff show, Matt Oakes, who just happens to be celebrating a birthday today, and Matt Paul will be hearing from all the area head coaches, release their updated Super 6 rankings and handicap all the night's big matchups. Coming up, its first loss of the season and second loss in 19 games. Carborough is on the road against South Granville tonight. Realignment moved those two teams out of the same conference. The Jaguars get their bye week next week. WCHL and chapelboro.com will only be broadcasting the Chapel Hill East Chapel Hill High game this week. Such a big game. You can follow all the latest on The Grid on our high school football page by clicking the WCHL link on the navigation bar at the top of our website, chapelboro.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Rand Northam.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
How's everything going?
Just, it's a busy day today.
It is a busy day.
A lot of news.
Trying to finish this week strong.
Yeah, a lot of news to talk about and a lot of excitement surrounding football, not just Carolina football, but high school football as well.
That's right, yeah. Lots of exciting things. I know people are excited that football is back for Carolina this week after a bye week. You kind of get that that itching for more when we have that bye week. So
ready to get it started.
That's right, exactly. My Appalachian Mountaineers were off last week as well, so I had the same kind of feeling for my alma mater, and though they really needed it.
Yeah.
They're struggling this year.
Didn't start off very well.
Not really, but that's okay. We're moving up to the Sun Belt, and things will be okay. So, taking a look at chapelboro.com, though, Aaron Keck has a new column up, Democracy, the Power Elite, and the State Senate Race. Took some time to write this one and has a lot of good pieces to talk about in that, so you want to check that out. That's under our columnist section on our website, chapelboro.com. Of course, check out Huddle Up with the Heels, as Huddle Up with the Heels is featuring lots talking about this weekend's game and even some things kind of stepping out of the realm of Carolina and Georgia Tech, talking about Steve Spurrier this week and other things. But, of course, talking about this game now, previewing the game coming up. 16 years it's been since Carolina has beaten Georgia Tech in Atlanta. So
they're hard to beat down there.
They certainly are. They were hard to beat here last year. So it's going to be...
Scored 50 points and couldn't do it.
Exactly, exactly. So it's going to be a challenge, but a challenge that Coach Larry Fedora says he's up to. And you can find all the latest on Tar Heel football on Huddle Up with the Heels on our website, chapelver.com. Of course, the college pick'em is underway. And did you make your picks this week, Rob?
Yeah, I have.
All right.
We'll see how it goes.
See how it goes indeed. We've got that for you in our Huddle Up with the Heels section on our website, chapelboro.com. That and much more available, again, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
Right now I'm on a fast track, just plummeting toward the bottom of the standings and people making the picks. So.
Middle of the pack. There's nothing wrong with that, Ron.
Hopefully I can turn it around now.
A couple weeks of 10 points, you'll be all right.
Yeah, sure. 744 at WCHL. Good morning.
Orthopedic injuries can make even the smallest movements difficult. That's why UNC Orthopedics has made it even easier to get the care you need. Many of our services are located in a convenient facility on Highway 54 in Chapel Hill. The same exceptional care is available in sports medicine, total joints, bone health, orthopedic prompt care, and our fragility fracture program. For information, visit uncortho.org.
Your friends at Glass Half Full invite you to come enjoy the bountiful harvest of fall at our restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop in downtown Carrboro. Can we tempt you with an earthy beet salad, our trio of mini burgers or lobsters? All accompanied, of course, with just the right cool white or savory red wine. We'll welcome you for lunch Monday through Friday and for dinner Monday through Saturday. Glass Half Full, the optimistic neighborhood restaurant and bar. Online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com.
Voted Chapel Hill's best annual event. Immerse yourself in the arts at Chapel Hill's Festival Arts Festival in downtown Chapel Hill on Sunday, October 7th from noon until 6. Explore over 80 quality artists this year at Festival. It's a perfect time to shop for a special gift or purchase something arts and new for your home or office. This is Ron Stutz. I'll be hosting Festival's Homegrown Stage presented by WCHL and ChapelBro.com. For a complete listing of artists and entertainment, get your own Festival event guide at townofchapelhill.org/festival.
Thank you, superstar, disc jockey, morning talk show host. Been here forever, keeping us doing it right, Ron Stutz.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Raleigh Mann. How should the university clean up its act and manage actually to educate student athletes? Big time sports has brought money and fame to UNC and a good dose of embarrassment. Now, a panel of educational leaders chaired by Hunter Rawlings offers 28 recommendations to correct the imbalance between sports and education. But what will become of it? This report is one of at least 8 reviews, investigations, and panels to look into the athletics and academics balance issue just in the past 3 years, according to the Daily Tar Heel. Mary Willingham summarized it well when she said, "Let's be honest. We've had countless reports and we still have athletes who are not getting served a real opportunity for an education here at Carolina and at colleges and universities across the country." Ms. Willingham is an academic counselor, former reading specialist for the Academic Support Program. She's researched this thoroughly. She knows whereof she speaks, and when she speaks, I listen. Rawlings, president of the Association of American Universities, urges UNC to take his panel's recommendations seriously. Actually, do something with them. University leaders talk a good game when they discuss reform, but some of those who labor in the classrooms, labs, and libraries have doubts. And I, who labored in the classroom for 22 years there, share their skepticism. The Daily Tar Heel does report that UNC has taken several measures recently to address athletics. The Student Athletic Academic Initiative Working Group, led by Provost Jim Dean and Athletics Director Cunningham, will examine how the university can encourage athletes' academic success. Examine? Yeah. Plenty of examining is going on, but how has the student-athlete's chances for getting a good education improved? Will these studies and reports make that happen? Or will the tail, as it has for years, continue to wag the dog? This is Raleigh Mann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Kristen Ruffin. The UNC football team plays Georgia Tech Saturday. We hit the streets to find out if you think the Tar Heels will snap their seven-game losing streak in Bobby Dodd Stadium.
My name's Lucas Weevil. I'm predicting a Carolina win this weekend down at Georgia Tech to break this streak. Hopefully, it'll be a little different than last year's game. We'll get some stops and still score some points. I'll go with 21-35 Carolina.
My name is Tupa Morrow, and I'm from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I don't think UNC is going to win because Georgia Tech, they do have a good team. If UNC wants to win this, they're going to have to pull real hard.
Score prediction, yeah, fellas, if Georgia Tech does win, I'm saying about 35, UNC probably 20, 21.
My name is Michael Jenkins. I stay here in Chapel Hill. But Georgia Tech is not going to beat Carolina. Score? Well, he might beat him by 7.
Who's going to win the UNC game at Georgia Tech this Saturday?
My name is Gary. I live in Chapel Hill, and I think Carolina's going to win 28-21.
Fawn Jones, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, UNC, 79-60!
Noah, I'm from Chapel Hill, and I predict 31, Chapel Hill, Georgia Tech, 17.
That's What You're Saying on the Street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
Love some of those predictions. 79-60. Whoa! Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL Traffic, brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point. What a concept. Located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Now with your morning traffic, here is Rand.
Ron, this just in, Carolina and Georgia Tech have already scored in order to get to 79-60. So they're already scoring right now.
Might have to.
Yeah, it's 7-7.
We'll be reporting on the fourth quarter come Monday morning.
That's right. That was great. Traffic moving smoothly right now. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway. Not reporting any accidents or delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363. Send us a tweet at WCHL. As always, no matter how you contact us, we ask that you do it safely.
I'll tweet you in just a moment.
Hope you do.
I'll practice safe tweeting while I'm doing it. Hey, 7:51 at WCHL, time for your Chapel Hill Carborough weather forecast, presented by Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, immersed in the East 54 community, where you can book your private dining party from 10 to 300 people in one of 5 different private dining rooms. You can watch games on TV there. They got them all over the place. Food is great. All at Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, East 54. All right, it is 64 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Kind of wet, little light rain this morning. Mostly cloudy all day. Slight chance of more rain. High today in the low 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of rain, low in the low 60s. Tomorrow, a cloudy day. 60% chance of rain with the highs in the upper 70s for your Saturday. Saturday night, much the same with the lows in the upper 50s. And then on Sunday, cloudy day as well. 50-50 chance of rain with a high in the middle 70s. Oh boy, get ready for the rain. 7:51 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, he never lets anything dampen his spirits. The inimitable Wayne Pond.
except taking the garbage out in the rain, right?
Yeah, I guess so, man.
That'll dampen your spirit.
I came outside this morning. It was barely raining this morning. It's a little mist. And then on my way to work, which is not very far, it started pouring right when I was getting ready to get out of the car. But, you know.
We have a fine mist out here in Farrington Village.
Oh, good for you.
Everything in Farrington Village is fine. All right. We got a dandy for you this morning. Here's a word I bet you're familiar with.
Don't count on it.
I always do. The word of the day is innocuous. Innocuous.
Innocuous.
Yeah, I think we're all familiar with that. May not absolutely have the definition all fine-tuned and everything. I-N-N-O-C-U-O-U-S. I-N-N-O-C-U-O-U-S. Innocuous. I would recite the Latin derivation, that is to say the derivation from Latin for this word, except I know you'd fall asleep instantly, so I won't do that. It's an adjective. You want to define the word innocuous, our Friday word of the day?
Last time I went to see Jamie Bryan and had my eyes checked, he said, Ron, you're innocuous. No, I'm sorry, that's something else altogether.
Our good friend, Dr. Bryan. All right, well, how about the meaning of the word of the day there, pal? You got it for me?
No, you give it to me.
All right, I knew you'd play the game that way. Producing no injury, harmless, not likely to give offense or offense. Hey, maybe we're talking football here.
Yeah, really.
Or to arouse strong feelings or hostility. Inoffensive, insipid, ooh, goes downhill from there. We'll leave it alone.
Oh, that's what I always strive for, to be innocuous.
Did you go downhill, you mean?
Not true.
All right, there's your word of the day. Ron, my man.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend. Go Heels. Talk to you on Monday.
All right, buddy. Man, I hope the Tar Heels can be innocuous tomorrow when it comes to not producing injury. That's for sure. Don't want anybody to get hurt. All right, the word of the day on WCHL brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you have an opportunity to call in, tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it. If you're the first to do all that, then we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 97.9 FM, WCHL. Ron Setz here, along with Lauren Stafford. And it was easy for me to say.
Kind of a mouthful of my name.
I sort of started to stumble over your name there. But
that's okay.
I quickly recovered.
Not like I don't see
it's
you every
morning.
It's
because of that hat you're wearing.
I know, the hat throws you off every time.
I love that hat.
You do?
It is really cool.
Even with the big feather coming out of it?
The straw and the feather and the big ribbon?
Oh,
I mean, it's really neat.
Thank you.
Yeah. Setting new fashion trends, folks.
Always. Every day, always.
You got to see this.
All right. Mae McClendon.
Oh, okay.
She's back.
This will be good.
She's back for more. It is good. It should be good.
Yeah.
A policeman pulls a man over for speeding and asks him to get out of the car.
Okay.
After looking the man over, he says, "Sir, I couldn't help but notice your eyes are bloodshot. Have you been drinking?" The man gets really indignant and says, "Officer, I couldn't help but notice your eyes are glazed. Have you been eating donuts?" I would highly recommend not trying this tactic to get out of a ticket. Just FYI.
I don't think so. Not me.
No, definitely not me either.
Hey, listen, have a great day.
Have a great day.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Ethan Aleph and Kevin Penn, they're participating in the UNC Pedal for Peds event this Saturday. A bike ride supporting UNC's Division of Pediatric Hematology Oncology. This event sprang from dark beginnings. Here's Ethan.
I was diagnosed in 08, and my doctor, Dr. Blatt, started the ride, I guess, because of me, because I started bringing my bike into the hospital during treatments. She started the ride because of that and wanted to help raise money for the fifth floor and help the families up there.
Ethan and Kevin are both two-time survivors of leukemia. Ethan was a patient at UNC. Kevin was treated at Duke.
Ethan has been an inspiration to many, many people, not only to Dr. Blatt in creating this ride, but Ethan was an inspiration to me. There was an article published about him riding his bicycle while going through treatments in 2008 that was published in a local periodical. Out of coincidence, I happened to be at the hospital at the same time, diagnosed with the same disease as Ethan. My friends dropped that article on my bed and said, you're being kind of lazy in comparison to this young man over at UNC. I was getting treated over at Duke, and they shamed me into following suit. And so Ethan's been a long-time inspiration for me, and so he and I have become fast friends and huge supporter of what Dr. Blatt and this ride are doing.
And now you're both participating in this great bike ride. All proceeds will be used to fund pediatric cancer research, fellowship education, and other great programs to help kids with cancer and blood disorders.
Out of pure coincidence, Ethan and I were able to meet each other while we were going through that process and been friends ever since. We will be riding a tandem bicycle for the third time on Saturday morning. Me in my Duke jersey, he in his UNC jersey, and his dear friend is going to be out there in an NC State jersey. We're covering the triangle in terms of affiliations, if you will. Just really looking forward to kind of celebrating and paying it forward, as Ethan and I like to do.
All of that is really a great collaboration, rivalries aside. If someone wants to find out more about this event coming up this weekend, how do they go about doing that?
The best way of doing that is pedalforpeds.org, the website, and PEDS is spelled P-E-D-S, so pedalforpeds.org, and all the information that you need to know about registration, the event, and anything else are on that website.
Ethan says the real joy is being able to help others and encourage them, particularly if they're going through the same experience.
I just like to, I guess, share my story and share things that I've gone through, and if they have any questions, like to answer those in the best way I can and give them advice. Just show them that you can get better. Just have a positive attitude and keep fighting. If you want to get back to where you were, you can get back there.
Ethan Aliff and Kevin Penn, inspirational. They're today's WCHL Tandem Hometown Heroes.
Performance Automall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Automall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Automall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Bright lights, big city, and Tar Heel basketball. This November, it's a Continental Tire basketball and Big Apple giveaway presented by Seagroves Insurance. We'll send two lucky winners up to New York City for two luxurious nights, and then it's off to Mohegan Sun in Connecticut to watch Tar Heel basketball in the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic. And this year, we have more places to enter than ever before. So keep listening to find out how you can win.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Vespa Ristorante. It's half off. $30 for Italian and Mediterranean cuisine, available now for $15. You probably know Vespa from its patio, the largest in downtown Chapel Hill. But Vespa is also known for providing high-quality Italian and Mediterranean cuisine. Their exciting selection of delectable dishes can now be yours for half the price. And they're donating 5% of its proceeds from these coupon sales to the Northside Elementary School. It's half off from Vespa Ristorante. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Wake up every morning with one of Chapel Hill's leading action adults, Ron Stutz in the Morning News. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heels station.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
63 degrees, a little light rain today.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Add it up for yourself. Commerce plus social equity